If you go there, Proverbs chapter 31, right at the end. And not only what we're, you know, this text, if you're familiar with your Bible, you know this is not only, this is a great, it's a mother text, but it's also a wife, a great wife, which I think that's, you know, be a mother, you should be a wife. And then there's qualities that we're going to talk about that would apply to any person, any Christian person. Even some of them would apply to a man as well. But the Bible says, and I didn't get my notes back to Eileen. Eileen, you're going to have to wing it. Seasons of Motherhood is the title of the message. Proverbs 31, verse 10. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children ariseth up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We do thank you again for our mothers, and I ask that you bless this message, Lord, that I pray you move among us, speak to our hearts. Lord, there's an awareness of your presence here today, and I pray just anoint me with the power to preach as you would have it be preached. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The seasons of motherhood. I was trying to think of a title. You know, there's a lot of seasons to motherhood. You know, there's that first season when we have a mom, and mom's the center of our life, and pretty much. And I like the song Tori sang about God bless us, you know, with our mothers. And then there's times when and we had grandmothers. I remember my great-grandmother. I stayed with my great-grandmother some, and my great-grandmother raised my dad. So really, as far as his raising goes, it was his grandmother that raised him. But I knew his real mother, too, and we all had a relationship. And so there's grandmothers, and we're at that point now. My wife's a grandmother. We're actually a great-grandmother. She's a great-grandmother, and I'm a great-grandfather, and but we had our mothers, and when we become mothers, you all became mothers, and then there's going to be a point where you become grandmothers, and you may be a grandmother and not be a mother, but you could have some other children that you're a grandmother to, and so there's all those seasons of motherhood that we change, you know, it changes for us. And this word that we just read, it says King Lemuel, back in the very beginning, it said it's the words of King Lemuel, and it was words that his mother taught him at the very first part. And we're not sure who he is. Some people think that he's Solomon. If it is Solomon, then Bathsheba was his mother. And it was, you know, words that she gave him some advice. And I didn't read that part of it, but if you read on your own in verses 1 through 10, she gave him some warnings about two things. This is for you men. See, this message got something for everybody. This message is for the men. He gave him warnings about two things, women and wine. She gave her son a warning about women. You know how women are. I see somebody. Don't be laughing at me. we gave her a warning about women and a warning about wine and good advice on that. And then when she went on and gave him advice about choosing a wife, choosing a woman and about that. And I think that was the key things. And you read those things, and we read all through that. And I think as a woman, you'd look at that and thought, wow, look at this ideal. This ideal is way above what I'm capable, I'm falling short, behind this. But this is the ideal. This is the ideal woman that she gave a list to right there. It's a possibility with Christ, by the way. It's a possible thing. So you've got this ideal woman there and an ideal mother. But the key to it all is down in verse 30. It says this, the second part of verse 30. Well, I'll read the whole thing. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Here's the key. It's the key to the whole thing. If you fear the Lord, and that means respect for the Lord, you're following the Lord, you listen to the Lord. All the other things are a possibility only because Christ would dwell in us. And so I think that's a key thing, and that mother would be praised. That mother will be praised. And I thank God for my wife, and I hope my family is, and her children, Kyle's here, appreciate her. You don't know... You don't miss water till you don't have it. And you don't appreciate your mother till you no longer have them. My wife and I, both our mothers have passed. And we look back now and you think, oh, man, what a blessing. While you're experiencing it, you don't as much. But, boy, what a blessing our mother was to us. And I know in life, some people don't have the best mother, because there's things in life sometimes. But hopefully you did have, and we see certainly what a mother knew. And King Lemuel's mother, she knew. She said, look what she said. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? A virtuous woman, think about that. She told him, listen, this is she's hard to find. Number one, she said, this woman is hard to find, and this woman is priceless. You cannot put a price on this. This woman right here, this wife, this mother, you can't do that. Virtuous, that word virtuous means noble of character. And then it also means a woman of valor. I thought valor, man, that's a pretty strong word. That's the one word that's on the Medal of Honor, valor. In biblical terms, it means strength, courage, and moral fortitude. Or it can mean also a woman of excellence. And, we think about this for the men, for you guys. If you're not married, we got some young guys here that's not married, young men. Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. And Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. There's something to look for. Boy, God, the Bible covers everything, doesn't it? It tells you how to find it, what to look for in a wife, what to look for in a husband. Got that for the ladies as well. Everything is there. There's the only other woman in the Bible who's called virtuous is Ruth. Now, there's other women, obviously, that were virtuous. Mary comes to mind right away. There's other women, no doubt. But the only one that's really mentioned that way and used that word is Ruth, and this woman, this ideal woman that the Bible's talking about here. And there's a lot of qualities, and we'll never be able to exhaust them all, but I want to give you a few things. I tried to alliterate it as best I could. There's some qualities of this virtuous woman, this mother, this wife, and I want to give you a few points. Number one, I'm going to use the word surrender. Surrender. And I already mentioned key verse. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Man, this is a woman that has surrendered to the Lord. Man, and I think of, boy, I was talking with the teens this morning about my great-grandmother. She didn't have a thing, man. She had an old cook stove, wood cook stove. Running water was a trickle down from a spring. Took 3 minutes or 5 minutes to fill up a glass of water. There was no hot water in the house. You had to heat water up in a tub. It did have an indoor bathroom. Praise the Lord for that. Of course, you had to heat the toilet seat up in the wintertime with a hairdryer or something, or you couldn't sit on it, or you could, but you're going to be stuck there for a while. But it was heated in the living room. Some of y'all probably grew up this way, heated in the living room, and the other room is the kitchen and everything in between. You could see your breath in the wintertime, literally. I'm not making it up. But she was the most content woman that ever was because she knew the Lord. I mean, she just had, we were talking about peace and with the teens. And she was the most content woman I knew. And she didn't have nothing. Social Security check. She'd born in 1889. So she didn't get a lot of Social Security by the time that came around. But she knew the Lord. And so here was, you know, this was the key, fear in the Lord. And, you know, like I said, the two most important decisions you, some of you have already made them, and some of you haven't made it, both of them, and some of you have. The two most important decisions you'll ever make in life are, one, the decision to trust Christ. That is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You have nothing, I'm telling you, nothing more valuable than your soul. That is your prized possession, whether you know it or not. It's not your family. Even though as much as you love your kids, it's not your children. The most valuable thing you have is your soul. That soul will live for eternity somewhere. And so the most important decision you ever make in your life is that decision to trust Jesus Christ and be saved. I mean, that's it. And the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life is who you're going to marry. That's the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life, who you're going to marry. You know, because it's supposed to be for life. It's supposed to be for life. And boy, you know, you're like, you can marry into a miserable life or you can marry into a blessed life. And there's only a few perfect marriages in all the world. And, you know, I happen to have one of them, and my wife has one of them. And I mean, you know, look at her. She's always smiling, man. I'll tell you what. I tell people, they'll say, boy, you know, your wife, you look good. You know, you look good. You never, I said, well, it's because living with me is easy. I got to get cue cards up here, man. I'm going to hold something up and get an amen out of somebody, right? Huh? Hey, amen. This is it. So who are you going to marry? But here's the thing. It's a surrender in both cases. There's a surrender in both cases. Listen, when we trust Christ, what we're doing is we're putting his will becomes our will. And more than anything, his will becomes our will. And when you get married, this is it, buddy. I tell marriage people, I had to do a wedding not too long ago. Young ladies here that got, marriage is not a 50-50. It's 100-100. You don't want 50% of your spouse and 50% of your spouse. You want all of it, right? Don't you want your husband or your wife only love you 50%? Or you want 100%? It's 200s. My math's not real good, but I think that's 200, right? That's 200s. I mean, that's it. Boy, that's a strong deal right there. And so we think about it. You know, marriage, listen, it's a surrender. Now, this is God's standard. This is God's standard, which is correct. Motherhood should start with marriage. That virtuous wife, marry that wife. And marriage and motherhood are both God's ideas. And in motherhood, God's more involved in it than you think. We talked about that when Love Life was here, right? Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, Jeremiah was told. God's got something to do with it. We had a little video of life starting at the instant of conception. There's another DNA. Man, you can see some. Now we got all this modern technology, you can see it. Instant DNA, instant life. God's involved in this. And marriage and motherhood are both, like I say, they're both God's idea. God instituted marriage. Huh? He saw that Adam, I told the men yesterday, we had our men's fellowship breakfast, and how men like to go it alone. But God's idea, he said, I saw that Adam needed a helpmate. Huh? He formed woman. He said, no, he can't go it alone. Doesn't need to go it alone. He needed that. And so God made Eve from Adam's rib, and Adam said, he said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Man, there's the foundation for motherhood right there, the foundation for, now it's a surrender. We went over this already. Emily, now it's no longer just my will. And some of y'all others here I'm married to. It's not just my will, right? It's let me call home and ask my wife. Let me call home and ask my husband. You got somebody else, huh? Never said that before you got married, right? You have to. But it's one flesh. It's not two individuals. It's one flesh. That's what the Bible says. It's a spiritual union. Marriage is a spiritual union, just as much or more than a physical union. You become one person. I don't know about you, but I'm not cutting half of me off. Huh? That's it. I've thought about that. If something happened to my wife, half of my life would be gone. Half of my life would be gone. And literally. And so there's a surrender to self. And mothers, y'all know this. Once you get to be, you might not have the marriage part thought about that much, but the motherhood side, you surrender a lot of self for children, huh? Oh, you can't put it off. Baby starts crying. Some of you got newer ones. That baby starts crying at 2 a.m. I don't know how it is in your household, but I know in my household, daddy didn't get up and feed the baby at 2 a.m. Huh? Mama got up and fed the baby, and Danielle, she got colicky. And oh my gosh, man, 3 hours straight crying. 3 hours, and you could do nothing. I carried her around some. I would go, it was in the middle of January, man, snow was piled up outside, and I'm outside on the deck just standing outside because the crying was driving me nuts. But Mama stayed in there, hung in there with her, you know, and she couldn't help it. The baby couldn't help it, but you couldn't get her. It'd take 3 hours, literally, and she had it for a long time. And so it's a sacrifice, and it's a surrender of self. But the ideal wife and mother puts God first. I want you to know this, puts God first. Family is second. A lot of people don't have it straightened out. God is first, and the family is second. All other things. And I'm going to tell you what, if you put your family above God, you are hurting your family. If you put your family in front of God, you are hurting your family. And a lot of people saved. There's a lot of saved people, and they don't have that straight. And they're putting the family ahead of God. And I'm tell you what's going to hurt your family in the long run. The mother that really loves her children is going to put God first. The family, listen, everything. You put God first, and all other relationships will fall into place. Amen. And so verse 27. She had the family. The family was there. You see in 27, it said, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of her idleness. But verse 30 already told us that she feareth the Lord and she shall be praised. So she has got that priority. The family was the number two priority and God was the number one. So if we, like I say, we set that priority in our life and we've got God in the right place, every other relationship will be in the right place. Everyone. And boy, you'll be praised. And this is the ideal. This is the ideal that God has set for us. The second thing we see with the mothers is strength. Verse 17 said, it says, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. And so her strength and her virtue come from where? Knowing the Lord. How many of you mothers know you have to do a lot of praying? Them 2 a.m. Sitting up, there's a lot of praying that goes on, right? You pray for your children. And you pray and pray and pray for the children. I was talking with David and Katie there about Brindley. Boy, they had to wait for that report. Man, I'm going to tell you what. I mean, I trust the Lord. I do. But that morning I went out turkey hunting. I was sitting in the woods and I was thinking, today's the day they're going to have the MRI and they're going to find something out about that. And I was like nervous about it. And it wasn't my child. And I thought about them. I thought, man, just think of the burden that you have for your kids, you know, that burden you're waiting and waiting. And boy, God is good, though, and God is good. And I thought, woo, man, and we ought to praise God for that. We brought little Brindley up here before her surgery, and she prayed, and we prayed over her, and we laid hands on her, and we put it in God's hands and trusted him. So we need to praise the Lord, amen, for that. It was a great news. We got it this week. But, you know, I wasn't the parents. Trust me, I'm guarantee you their burden was 20 times greater than mine, and I had one. I had a burden for that. I think all of us did that knew what was going on. We were all thinking about that. But that's your child. You know, that's your child. So we've got our children, and, you know, it takes strength. Verse 27 says, she eateth not bread of idleness. There's so many verses. I underlined them, the thing that spoke about her hands. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 16, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth the vineyard. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And I mean, so in verse 31, I think, see that next plate, give her fruit of her hands, let her own work. We see a working, a woman that works with her hands. And in verse 15 says, she riseth also while it is yet night. So she gets up early and she provides for her household. Verse 15 tells us that. That's where it tells she provides for the whole household. She helps the poor and needy. She shops like a businesswoman. She's still working at night, and the first one up and the last one to bed. She prepares her household up in verse 21. They make sure they have. I remember my mom, man. You know, I always think about the Christmas story. You know, little Ralphie and Randy. Their little Ralphie. She's got him in the winter suit going out in the snow. Right. That was it, man. Mom, make sure you got this coat on. Wrap scarf around your neck. He looked like a tick about to explode, man. I mean, he couldn't get his arms down because he's in his little suit, right? Mom wanted to make sure, you know, you had everything. My mom, man, she put my clothes out. She laid them out, had them all laying on the bed. She wanted me to look nice. She wanted me to act right. She wanted to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, no elbows on the table. I mean, why did my mom want me to do all that? Because she wanted me to turn out right. Sorry about how it happened. It's not my mom's fault. But my mom, I mean, they did. If your parents, the kids, for our kids, we love our kids, right? We want to raise them right. My mom wanted me to do it best. She wanted me to excel in school. Sorry about that, Mom. She wanted me to do, everything the right way. She wanted me to have things. She wanted me to have I was an only child because my mother could not have any more children. As a matter of fact, I tell this every year. My mom, I'm one in a million, literally. They told my mother I'd be one in a million chance she'd ever get pregnant. And when she did, they said, if you have another one, it'll kill you. And so she couldn't have any more children, so I was the only one. But my mom and dad, I was able to have nice things, but they didn't want to spoil me. They made sure of that. Matter of fact, some of the other kids, they got stuff. My mom and dad didn't want to give me stuff because they said, we don't want you to be spoiled. So, you know, but needless to say, my mom was told she'd never have a child, and then I came along. Trust me, my mom loved me. my mom was proud, boy. She would bring me along. My mom was kind of crippled. She had tuberculosis of the bone when she was a small girl, and it fused her hip socket together, and back then they couldn't do anything about that. So she couldn't bend at the hip, so she never rode a bicycle and things like that, certain things she could do. So she was, but I never looked at her as a crippled mom, you know. I mean, she's just mom to me. I was a grown man, and we went to the 50th reunion, and we were over in Cape Charles, Virginia, and we were at the parade, and some guy, oh, yeah, they were meeting people that they hadn't seen in 50 years or whatever, and this never hit me until this happened. And this man said, I remember you were that little crippled girl. Never dawned on me that my mom was a crippled girl. I mean, he didn't mean it rudely. He was just remembered her because she had to have braces on her legs for a time. And I was going, wow, you know, that's right. I guess my mom is a crippled girl. But, hey, she raised me and she had a household and she took care of the household. And I'm going to tell you what, in my house, buddy, you could get a white glove on any day of the week and there wouldn't be a speck on it. I'm telling you what, nothing on the, that's why I'm a little nuts about, I can't hardly preach if there's a white little piece of paper out there on the floor. I got to go down and get it. It just drives me crazy. Now, Sherry's thinking, I wish he was like that at home, but I mean, you know. I do pick the stuff up at home. Where do you get all that stuff? From your parents, from my mom. I can hear my mom now. She called me Danny. She called me Danny. Danny telling me something. And I get ready to do something or look a certain way. Danny, don't do it that way. Why don't you do this? But I told Sherry, though, I went out. I got a new suit, and all most of you come here all the time. You can probably realize. I said, my mom would be proud today. She goes, yes, she would. See, yes, she would. We don't have our moms, but what she instilled in you lives forever. It just, you know, it goes on. It continues on. Let me try to pass that down to our children. And so it says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she takes care of herself, verse 22. And then look at verse 26. Here's a great one. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So two things happen when she opens her mouth. Her words are wise and her words are kind. That's good. It takes strength to be a wife and a mother. The third thing is sacrifice. And like I said, you know, we probably, young, you know, you new mothers or mothers now, if you're a mother now and have children at home, you starts dawning on you pretty quick what kind of a sacrifice that your mother made. Man, I don't know how mom did it. I mean, we see these people, they got kids I watched some things on TV. They got like 15 kids. They got to have a van to get everybody. When they go to the grocery store, it looks like they're buying the whole milk department out, man. And all. I mean, it's like crazy. And you're thinking, how in the world they do it? I think these women have them, sextuplet, whatever, six kids at one time. Can you imagine all them colicky at the same time? Oh, my gosh. I'd have gone out of my ever-loving mind. And I wasn't the mother. The mother would have. Man, I'm telling you, it's a sacrifice. You know, they sacrifice sleep. They went without in order when our parents were young. You don't realize when your parents, when we were raising my kids, I was the happiest man in the world when we finally were able to buy a washing machine and a dryer. We didn't have enough. We bought a house and we didn't have enough money. You know, we were sitting on orange crates and stuff, I think. But we didn't have a washer and dryer, so on laundry day, I would take all the laundry to work with me. Because I got off before she did. She worked. And I would take the laundry to the laundromat in Warrenton, Virginia, when we lived out in Amosville. And I would go to the laundromat, and I'd have to put the clothes in and sit there. We didn't have cell phones back then, so you couldn't play games. You just sat there twiddling around and waiting. And I was so happy to get it in the dryer, man, and big commercial dryer. Sometimes I'd throw it in the other one, get two of them so it'd do faster. And then I'd go home. Man, I've been working. I was a boiler maker, man. I worked hard all day, and I got to do the laundry. And man, the day we got the cheapest washer and dryer you could get, I was just happy camper, man. A washer and dryer home, hallelujah, man. We, you know, you don't realize our kids, you know, they didn't see that because they were too young to remember that. It was just tickled pink with what we had to do. And then when they quit buying diapers back then, $11-$12 for a pack of diapers, and I had to go like every weekend. I was so happy when they finally got out of diapers. I thought, man, what? Look at all that. What am I going to do with that extra $12? Which it went farther than it does today. But it's a sacrifice that you make, right? And, you know, there's sacrifices of a godly mother. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's kind of personal. My wife probably wouldn't want to say it when you say it, but just a couple days ago, we were riding up the highway, and she started thinking about her mom. She just lost her mom 5 years ago. I lost my mom in 2003, and it still bothers me sometimes. And she was thinking about her sisters lived up there near her mom, but we moved down here. We've been in the ministry for 29 years. And she was thinking about her mom and the times that we missed her, you know. And she said, you know, she just got upset. She said, all those Mother's Days and that we weren't at my mom's, I didn't get to spend with my mother because we're in the ministry. And we had Mother Day banquets. Remember on the Saturdays before Mother's Day, we used to do mother-daughter banquets. And then we were here at church for Mother's Day. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, I missed a lot of Mother's Days too. There, sometimes we were there. But that's sacrifice, you know, when you go into the ministry, when God's number one. But I told Sherry, and her mom's a saved woman, and my mom's was trusting the Lord as well, saved person. We'll see our mothers again one day. You know, we're going to be all eternity. We're just thinking about that human side of it, that we weren't able to be with our mothers as much as we could. And you know what? All of us, if your mother's not with you anymore, whether it was Mother's Days or not, you always, boy, I wish I had spent time doing this. I wish I had told my mom that. I wish I had said some things we didn't say. We all have that, right? But ministry, when you serve in the Lord, when you put God number one, there's going to be some sacrifice. And Jesus taught us that, right? I told the teens, I gave them that little acrostic with the word joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last, J-O-Y. That's the biblical teaching, you know, that we do. And that's a sacrifice. We sacrifice, but we're sacrificing for the Lord. And I tell you what, we're going to get a double portion one day. We're going to spend time with our moms, right? Amen. You think about another mother in the Bible. Sometimes I like to use her on Mother's Day. Hannah. Hannah was a barren woman, and she prayed that God would give her a son. She was specific. I like that. She wanted a son because sons were insurance. That was your retirement plan in those days when the men worked. And she said, Lord, if you give me a son, I'll give him to you all the days of his life. And she had a son. And when she weaned him, she took that son down to the temple. Now think about it. She had to take him and give him to the priest. The priest was going to raise him in the temple from, they were weaned a little later, what they call weaned, than what we would do today. She had to take her son down there. You thought she would have been depressed about that. You know what? All she could do was praise God. She praised the Lord. When you read that story there, she just gave God the praise. And guess what? That son became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. His son was Samuel. One of the greatest prophets in the Bible, man. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, really, the Bible says children are a heritage from the Lord. Rush Limbaugh used to say this, I'm on loan from God. Well, that's really what the children, I'm probably ahead of one of my points and it's in there, but God gives us children to raise for him more than us. We're raising them for him. She took Samuel and took him in, and he became one of the greatest prophets in the Bible. Israel didn't even need a king. They didn't need to have a king if they'd just listened to Samuel, but they thought they needed a king, but they had Samuel guiding them. That's all they needed. He was a prophet there. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, you know that story. They were going to kill all the children. Jochebed took Moses and put him in a little basket and hid him down by the water. And Pharaoh's daughter came down there and found the baby and took it home. And says one of the Hebrew children, she's going to raise it as her own. And she needed somebody, though, that could nurse him because she wasn't lactating. And so she got a girl that was a Hebrew that worked in the palace said, hey, I know a woman. She went and got his own mother and said, you come up here and nurse. She got to raise her own son in Pharaoh's court, but he got to go to the best schools in all the land. He learned everything. He lived in a wealthy home, and guess who? Turned out to be Moses. Turned out to be Moses that would save his people, man, and lead them out. Man, there was a mother that sacrificed, but look what happened with her son. She gave her son back to God, or put her son in God's. We never lose. Listen, if you give your children to the Lord, you're never going to lose them. You never lose when you give your children to God. And all she could do, boy, when all Hannah could do was gave praise the Lord about that. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She followed her son to the cross. Can you imagine, Mom, seeing your son scourged like that, nailed to a cross, dying for the sins of the world, not understanding everything now as we're looking backwards and we have the Bible? 3 days later, she got him back. 3 days later, he came back, the Savior of the world, man, the Son of God, the Son of God. But she had to suffer some things before that. Motherhood's a sacrifice, but what a reward, what a reward. And then the fourth thing is service. Psalm, I already mentioned this verse, Psalm 127 says, children are a heritage from the Lord in Psalm 127. So here it is. You're on a mission from God. You're on a mission from God, and you're on a mission for God is to raise your children to know the Lord, to serve the Lord, and raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. You have probably, moms, the greatest impact on your child's life. I read some statistics. I'm just going off the top of my head one time, and I can't remember what age it is, but children learn more in a certain age, from the time they're born up to like, it's like really young, 4 to 6 years old, 5 years old. A lot of what they learn is in that age group right there. And a lot of times the mothers are stay home with their children when they're born, and then the father goes to work. So mom, you spend more time with your child in that age group than any other time, any other person. You have more impact on your child. They say that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Huh, that's it. So you got it. Boy, what a responsibility, right? What a responsibility. Timothy, Paul had observed Timothy, and he knew that his faith, he talked about his faith, had come from due to the faith that he had seen in his mother and grandmother. It mentioned those two mothers. That faith that is in thee has to do with your grandmother and because of your mother. And, you know, I said a little earlier, I know that not every woman is a mother, though we all had a mother. But I think that the qualities that are mentioned right there would be good for any woman, any, and a lot of them, any man. I mean, there's nothing in there that would be other than the things that strictly apply to a woman. They're all the ideal that God has set, the ideal. And I'm not one of those that thinks, oh, well, you know, that's the perfect world, the ideal. We shouldn't strive for the ideal. You know, we can't never get. No, with the Lord, you can't. All things are possible with God, right? That's it. And so, you know, we think, well, maybe it's too late. No, it's never too late. We trust the Lord, put everything into his hands, and, man, we can go back, you know. We all, how many of you as a parent can say, boy, I wish I'd have done some things different. Huh? Yeah, you know, I wish I had done this more, less of that, more of this. I wish I'd have maybe gotten saved sooner, maybe started following. But you know what? You can still start today. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. You can say, hey, tell your children, hey, you know what? I made a mistake doing this. I wish I had done this. I wish we had done this, more of that. So, you know, the qualities there, the seasons of motherhood, surrender, strength, sacrifice, service. The first step for any person is surrendering to the Lord. Surrender to the Lord. Man, I was a little slow on the draw there. I didn't get saved till I was about 32 years old. But I haven't never regretted that decision. Changed my life for the better, for the good, certainly for the good. First step is surrender to the Lord. And we all have that opportunity today. You know what? Today's the day. You have an opportunity to be saved. And so, you know, I want you to think about that. Paul, you can come on and we're going to have an invitation. I don't want to keep the mothers too long on Mother's Day. A lot of people like to go out and eat. But here's the thing. Before we get wound up in that, here's the most important thing. And that is, you know, to be saved. Boy, nothing like having a saved mother. And a saved father. Boy, what a great thing. A saved mother, saved parents leading us towards the Lord. Oh, you know, that has an impact on our family. You know, they see us and I'm, you know, that's our prayer. And it's the greatest thing you can do for your children. First is you be saved. And then the second thing is lead your children to the Lord. A blessing to lead your children to the Lord. Amen. I mean, think about that. And so, you know, the question today, if you've never trusted Jesus, or maybe there's a lot of people that have made professions, but I'm not sure it was a reality in their life. And I don't even think they are sure it's a reality in their life. Are you sure without a shadow of a doubt that you trusted the Lord? I mean, that you surrendered to the Lord, not just went through a motion of praying or saying something, but I mean, is Jesus dwelling in you? He who hath the Son hath life, and he who hath not the Son hath not life. That's cut and dried. If you have the life of God in you, well, I'm telling you what, there's a transformation that starts taking place in your life. You know, you start having a desire for the things of God. You start loving the things of God. You love the Word of God. You love the house of God. You love the people of God. You know, I can't answer the question for you. All I can tell you is that the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. When the Word goes forth, the Holy Spirit's speaking. And I don't think Satan had ever put a doubt in your mind that you were saved or not. If you thought you were, He's not going to tell you that you're not, because he doesn't want you to get saved. He wants you to stay, keep on thinking that you are when you're not, right? So God spoke to your heart today. Say, hey, you know, the first step I need to do as a parent, a mother, father, I need to be saved. I need to be sure. I want to come to Jesus, ask him to forgive me of my sins and get that under the blood. And God gives us the Holy Spirit, puts his Holy Spirit in our heart. We can be saved. God's still in the saving business. That's why we're still preaching. That's why the Lord hasn't come back. Get that matter settled, and God take care of the rest, and then God gives us wisdom. That's a great thing to pray for. We need it in this world. We need it in every world. I pray every day, God, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Fill me with yourself. You'll be in control. So if God spoke to your heart today, if you need to get that matter settled, I'm right here. I'll pray a little bit, but I'll be right here. If you want to be saved, you come forward and say, man, I need to get saved.
Our hymn of invitations, hymn number 270. Let's stand together, just as I am. Just.